It's been 3.5 years since it was passed by Congress, and it seems like politicians have been fighting over it ever since. But the Affordable Care Act is law, and a big part of that law kicks off tomorrow. Tuesday, October 1st, health insurance exchanges will open up nationwide, meaning millions of uninsured Americans and underinsured Americans will be able to see what their options are and what it will cost. There are more than 90 variations, I believe, on health plans available through the exchanges, so this hour we'll bring on two Affordable Care Act experts to help us understand this big and complex program. This is The West Side. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm glad to introduce our experts this hour. First, joining us in studio is Linda Strzok. Linda is the Economic Support Manager for Eau Claire County, one of the lead agencies at the local level charged with helping people get signed up on the exchanges and with Badger Care. Linda Strzok, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure to have you. And joining us by phone from her office in Milwaukee, I'm glad to introduce Kathy Conway. Kathy is an attorney with Vaughn, Breeson & Roper, who specializes in health insurance and retirement plans, among many other things. Kathy Conway, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. And folks, this discussion about the Affordable Care Act and the exchanges opening up tomorrow is informational. So please call in with your questions and comments. The number is 1-800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. We had a bit of a technical issue with the call-in system, but I believe it's online. So 800-228-5615. You can also leave a question or a comment on our West Side Facebook page. So I guess we'll start with brass tacks here. We hear a lot about marketplaces, exchanges. Kathy Conway, I'll start with you. We've heard about these things, but what do they actually do and what are they?
Well, the marketplace, which is also known as the exchange, is a web-based platform for individuals and small businesses to purchase health insurance. They are at four levels, a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, with those different levels of coverage available to individuals. It's in addition to, not a replacement of, the traditional ways of purchasing insurance. You can still purchase insurance through your broker. You can still purchase insurance directly from insurance companies. But this is an additional option and gives individuals the advantage of being able to purchase insurance as if they're part of a large group rather than just being rated as individuals and at their individual risk level.
All right. So a person doesn't have to buy insurance from the marketplace if they don't have insurance right now.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The advantage, and I think we'll probably talk more about it, the advantage of purchasing the insurance through the marketplace or the exchange is that if you qualify for the various subsidies and tax credits that are available to you, you must purchase the insurance through the exchange in order to get the subsidy.
Okay. And Linda Strzok, how about the exchanges? There's different ones for individuals and small businesses, I understand. Do you have any idea about the differences there?
Actually, I'm going to refer to Kathy on that.
Okay.
Most of the expertise I have is regarding our current Badger Care Plus.
Okay. Kathy Conway.
Well, there will be the exchange will be available to small businesses. Those are businesses with 50 or fewer employees. But that is not going to be available tomorrow, as expected. The scheduled start date for both the individuals and the small businesses was to be October 1st, just last Friday. However, they announced that the small businesses won't be able to use the exchanges until mid-November.
Okay. And I believe I heard about some kind of a delay. There was some mandate that was pushed back. What was that, Kathy?
That is the mandate for employers. Employers that do not provide coverage to their full-time employees, full-time being defined as employees who work an average of 30 hours per week, would have been subject to what they call a shared participation, shared responsibility tax. beginning January 1, 2014. That has been delayed to January 1, 2015.
Have there been any other parts that are delayed? And we're hearing a lot about attempts to, you know, defund, and also there might be a government shutdown. Does any of that affect what happens tomorrow?
Well, my understanding is that unless there is a defunding, which I frankly think is unlikely, just given what I'm hearing on the on the radio, on Wisconsin Public Radio, and
sure,
other places,
sure.
It's unlikely that there's going to be defunding of the Affordable Care Act. And if there is not, even if there is a government shutdown beginning tomorrow, the Affordable Care Act would be one of the government agencies, one of the government services that would still be provided even during a shutdown.
All right. And, well, with that, let's go straight into calls. We've got Sally on the line in Bloomer. And, Sally, you're on the air. Thanks for calling us.
Good morning.
What's your question?
My question is, back in 2002, when my husband was unemployed, I'm a stay-at-home mom,
mm-hmm.
we purchased our own individual health insurance program.
Okay.
And then he got employed, and in the meantime, I had a pre-existing condition, so we continued with our individual health insurance policy. So my question now is, my husband's company does offer health insurance, but so I'm wondering, would we qualify for any, you know, for the subsidy if, you know, our income is low enough, even though our, you know, if we went on the exchange, even though my husband's company does offer health insurance?
That's a good question. Linda, would you like to take a stab at that?
It is my understanding that it depends on the type of insurance your husband's employer offers. You know, is it, acceptable, affordable, I think is what the verbiage that they continue to use, depending on how much of a premium so on you have to pay.
And would I be able to learn that on the exchange if I go on? And, I mean, how would I learn that on the exchange if it's, you know, his health employer's health insurance policy would be acceptable?
I believe that they do ask specific questions regarding employer health insurance.
Health policy number, et
yes.
cetera.
Also, you can also call. There's a 1-800 number for the marketplace, so you can actually talk to a live agent to also discuss.
Okay. Another question.
If I could just
go ahead,
interject
Kathy.
Something. It's important. One thing that's important to understand is one of the other aspects of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is that it has changed the requirements for what must be covered under insurance policies. And one of the new changes, effective January 1, there may not be any pre-existing condition exclusions.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I suggest that you, before, you know, you certainly should, you know, check the exchange if you don't find your husband's employer's coverage sufficient. But the pre-existing condition will be covered effective January 1. There can be no pre-existing condition exclusions effective January 1.
I'd like to follow up with a question of my own. We've heard a lot about, well, people who don't get affordable, quote-unquote, health benefits from their employers, they can go on the marketplace. What is that definition? Is it a certain percentage mm-hmm. of income?
Yes. It's 9.5% of household income. So if the coverage available to an individual costs more than 9.5% of the household income, then that's not considered affordable care.
Okay.
Mike, may I ask, where would you look on your, say, 1040 to know what they're classifying as household income? Because I'd assume they're going off the 10, you know, your income tax forms.
Well, actually, there's for purposes of the employers, they can use just payroll or W-2 income, but they do look at the entire household income. So if your income includes income other than wages, they would look at that. But generally, for most people, we're talking about wages.
And would that be like line 43 on the income tax, you know, after you have some deductions?
Frankly, I'm not sure which line it would be, but it's household income would be what would be considered. So I think what you'll find is that now you're probably going to be getting family coverage. If your husband were to get it through his work, you would get family coverage, and the premium for family coverage may exceed 9.5% of your household income, but still be considered, and this is kind of a gap in the law, it still would be considered affordable if the premium for an individual is less than 9.5% of household income. So it could be that there will be people who will fall in that gap of having household income above the 9.5% of coverage for an individual, but have to pay a premium that's higher than 9.5%.
And in that case, the family members, if they were, they're not eligible for subsidies then either, right?
Well, actually, they could be eligible for subsidies. You know, one of the things to look for when you, you know, go on to the exchange is to see if you are eligible for a subsidy. The subsidy is based on whether or not your income is, where your income is in relation to the federal poverty level. If it's between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level, then you could qualify for a subsidy on the exchange.
Okay.
May I ask then, the best way for our family and any other family here in Wisconsin is that they just need to go on to the exchange, fill out whatever the form is, and then wait until they get a response back to find out what you're eligible for? Is that the best way?
Well, before we go into that, what is the website that, that Wisconsin's exchange will be under? It's healthcare.gov, I believe?
Yep, it's healthcare.gov. And then there's also a marketplace call center that is supposed to be staffed 24/7. And that phone number is 1-800-318-2596.
Okay, and then the process, Kathy Conway, once they get on the site, it's kind of a guides you through it, does it not?
Yes. Yes. I just did a little, you know, snooping around on it, and it does seem to be pretty Linda, do you have any different thoughts on it? I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. They also have, in addition to the 1-800 number that Linda just mentioned, they have an online chat available. So if you have questions, you can use the online chat and have someone, you know, have a live chat with a government employee who would assist you in using the helpline, or assist you in using the marketplace. Linda, do you have more information about navigators or other in-person help that people can get?
The Navigator grant for Eau Claire County was awarded to Workforce Resource. However, the grant was, I believe, about $890,000 statewide. Of that, very small amount went to our area. I think there's like a 0.3 FTE to cover a couple counties in our area, but that is Workforce Resource. And I do believe they'll be coming out with some educational brochures, so on and so forth, and doing some outreach. And then there are some, we're still waiting to hear who all the certified application counselors are going to be to also help assist individuals. I think they're just going through training now, but that should be located on the website. Okay. Also, if somebody needs some more in-person help.
So will they be able to go to the county health department, wherever they're at, and seek help that way or no?
Well, unless you're signed up for a certified application counselor, I think many of the other county departments are considering themselves mobilizers / assisters. So, for example, if you come to Eau Claire County Department of Human Services and you need assistance with the marketplace, we're going to have a telephone that'll directly go to the marketplace. We're going to have a laptop where you can sign in if you need some assistance that way. But a certified application counselor can actually meet and discuss it a little bit more. In theory.
Sally, I hope that helps. Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the program.
You're welcome. And we do have another caller on the line, but I want to kind of get back to some of the basics. We'll get to the Carol and Rice Lake in just a second, but we mentioned healthcare.gov. Since Wisconsin decided not to set up its own marketplace, so how does that affect? Does that affect anything, or is it just going to be the standard federal form that people are going to use, Kathy Conway?
Well, my understanding is that although it's we'll be using the federal marketplace, that it is individualized for each state that is using the federal marketplace. So, in other words, when you get to that healthcare.gov, you will be asked for where you live, what state you live in, and based on that, then you will be shown the plans that are available in your area for you to choose from. So how it would differ from a state run program, I think essentially it would not differ as far as the substance of it.
Okay.
You know, it might look different. It might be set up, differently, but I think it would offer the same service that would be offered if it were run by the state of Wisconsin.
And when someone goes online, either at their home or at the health department or wherever, they go online to take a look at their options, what are the basic things they're going to need to have available, have handy? Linda Strzok.
Well, you definitely need to be prepared for an application, whether you're going to be doing that with Department of Human Services, Badger Care Plus program, or the exchange. And some of the key essentials are who's in the household. Are you filing taxes in the household? Who are the tax dependents in the household? And you need to have available your income because either program is going to need verification of that.
So maybe some tax forms, some W-2 stuff, maybe
employer
ID.
Paychecks, you know, something to show what that income is.
Okay.
Now, Linda, my understanding, but I'm not, this is just from what I read in the paper, but so I'm not sure, I don't have independent verification of this, but my understanding is that you can bypass the income questions if you're not interested in applying for the subsidy, or you know that you are not going to qualify for the subsidy. If your income is above the 400% of the federal poverty level, then there would be no need to fill out all the information concerning your income. Is that correct?
That might be possible. I know for our programs we're going to need that, but again, our programs are going to be if you're
for low income,
below 100%.
Sure.
Now let's go to Rice Lake. We've got Carol on the line. Carol, thanks so much for hanging on the line. What's your question?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm currently on the high-risk insurance in Wisconsin, and my husband is on Medicare. And as I understand it, first of all, the high-risk insurance will end December 31st because of the Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
And they keep sending me updates on email, but they said that there was only three different insurances that I could pick from. And when I went into those and tried to look that up to get information on them, two of them were from La Crosse South. Like they were only, you know, basically in the La Crosse, Madison, Milwaukee area. So does that mean I have like one choice?
That's a very good question. Linda?
I know they did just release the providers within each county. I'm a little bit more familiar with Eau Claire County, which was Security Health and Health Traditions. But, there's only so many providers within each area. So that's definitely something else everybody would want to research to see what's available specific in your county. So,
and the other thing I understand is even where there are one or two providers, there's more than one or two plans. The providers offer more than one plan, but it is possible that you have only one or two providers.
All right, Carol, thanks so much, and good luck negotiating and navigating the... go ahead.
Can I just ask then, too, seeing as my husband is on Medicare, and this is just insurance for me, I still have to include the whole household income?
Again, it's based on... it first looks at who's... Who are the tax filers in the house and your dependents? So that's kind of where it starts.
So you use the gross income for both of you, even though he has nothing to do with this insurance.
Kathy Conway, does that plan do anything when you're signing up for it? Do we know?
That's my understanding, is that they look at household income with respect to whether or not the household income is within that 100% to 400% of the federal poverty limit for getting the subsidy. But again, even if your income is above that cutoff, or that threshold, you can still apply for the coverage under the exchange. You might also, as I said, you might also still use the traditional ways of purchasing insurance through a broker. Through, you know, if you don't qualify, if your income is too high to get a subsidy, then you might look on the exchange, but also see what your other options would be outside of the exchange.
Okay. Thanks so much, Carol. The number for anyone else to call in with questions or comments is 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and what you need to know before the health insurance exchanges open up tomorrow. I'm joined by Eau Claire County Economic Support Manager Linda Strzok and Attorney Kathy Conway of Von Breezen and Roper. We'll have more when we return. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening. Health insurance exchanges under the Affordable Care Act open up tomorrow. So this hour, we're speaking with two Affordable Care Act experts to help us understand it all. I'm joined by Attorney Kathy Conway of Von Breezen and Roper and Eau Claire County Economic Support Manager Linda Strzok. If you've got a question or a comment about the Affordable Care Act, do give us a call. The number is 1-800-228-5615. This is an informational program, and we have the experts, so you supply the questions. 800-228-5615. You can also leave a question or a comment on the Westside Facebook page. So now I want to get back to when we talk about the marketplace. We know that it is healthcare.gov. What about people that don't speak English? And I'm wondering if there's a Hmong language option, because I was looking yesterday and it didn't seem like there was anything for people that may speak Hmong and Hmong only. Kathy, are you familiar with what the options are for people?
As far as the marketplace, I am not sure if they have other language options. I do know that if you call the 800 number that Linda gave earlier, they do have translators for 150 languages. Don't know if Hmong is among the languages, but they do have translators on the 1-800 number.
Okay.
At the 1-800 number.
And
Linda, do you know if there's different language options on the marketplace online?
I'm not sure that there is, but I do know with the 1-800 number, they use the translation line similar to what the county agencies do, and it is multiple languages, and Hmong is usually readily available.
Okay, very good. Because I looked at yesterday, I went on and looked, poked around, and it looked like they had 18 languages, you know, Chinese, French, et cetera, but I did not see Hmong, so that's good to know. And let's see here. So how do people figure out what they're going to end up having to pay per month, Kathy Conway, as far as, you know, the premium cost? Whoop. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I accidentally
turned. I didn't cut off.
No, I turned off your mic accidentally. So, what are the options for? How do people know what they're going to end up paying?
Well, I don't. They'll know when they actually apply. But you know, we do have some information regarding what will be available through the exchanges, kind of average.
Sure.
Averages that will be available. You know, for example, in Wisconsin, for the second lowest silver, which will be kind of an average policy that you could get for a family of four, the premium would be about $860 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But if you qualify if you're a family of four with an income of $50,000 or less, it would be $282 a month for that coverage. So basically what you would do is you could go to the exchange, look at the various levels of coverage available to you, and then based on your income, you could see what you will pay for that.
And I'll go off of that, too. I believe I saw the same numbers that you did. And for a 27-year-old making more than $45,960 a year, it's about $238 a month. And for a 27-year-old making $25,000, it would be $145 per month.
Right.
And you mentioned the tiers a little while ago, and there are four tiers. We've got platinum, gold, silver and bronze. Also, for folks that are under 30, there's another option, is there not? The catastrophic plan?
Sure, yes. Catastrophic plan would have a very high deductible,
sure,
and be very low cost for those individuals. I'm not sure what, I don't recall exactly how high the deductible would be. Linda, would you know that?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Right.
Yeah, but it is a high deductible plan.
So then
high deductible plan.
We all know, I mean, I think we all know some basics about precious metals, and I would assume that the platinum would be the highest, and then the bronze would be the lowest as far as, so what is that based on? Is it on coverage, Linda? Is it on deductibles, out-of-pocket expense?
It is my understanding that they all have to have a basic coverage within each plan, so mm-hmm. what that may mean, and Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, there might be higher premiums or higher co-pays or higher prescription drugs based on each one of those plans.
Right. The bronze would be the lowest cost plan, but it would have the highest deductibles, the highest out-of-pocket requirements mm-hmm. for individuals. So it would be, the bronze might be the plan for someone who feels that they're very healthy, that they sure. and that they're really willing to take the risk that if they do have an accident or a serious illness, that they would have, you know, they would know that they would have higher deductible, higher out-of-pocket expenses to pay for that coverage. You go all the way up to the platinum would be pay the highest premium, but then if you do get sick, if you do need the coverage, you'd have lower out-of-pocket expenses.
And I've got some basic information. This comes from the Wisconsin Commissioner of Insurance Office. The bronze, this says, the tiers represent the average portion of expected costs a plan will cover for an average population. Bronze, it would be about 60%. Silver, 70%, 80% for gold, and 90% for platinum. My question is, average costs for an average population, not an individual, is that different of what it would cost? Could a person end up cost, if I go in for a major operation, I have the silver plan, does that mean 30% of whatever that large total will be is what I have to pay?
Okay. My understanding is not necessarily, frankly, I've seen that explanation, and I'm not sure that I understand it myself. Right. As far as where they came up with. My general understanding is that as far as what is covered, all of the plans have to cover certain essential health benefits
mm-hmm.
and essential health needs. But once you get beyond that, the higher level plans will cover more of the potential health needs that you might have, health insurance needs that you might have.
Mm-hmm.
But for any individual, that's where I think you get the 60, 70, 80, 90% looking at the population as a whole. But for any individual, I don't think that you can translate that necessarily and say, well, if you have a silver plan, that will always cover 70% of your health needs. I think it will, my understanding is that will vary based on your own health needs. For some people, it will be the 70% or the population as an average will be the 70%.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not translate to every single individual.
Linda, would you like to add anything to that?
That is the same information that I'm aware of as well. It hasn't really been spelled out in great detail, but that would be my understanding.
All right, let's go back to the phone and take some more calls. Elaine in Eau Claire, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What's your question?
I feel like this has been talked around, but I still am confused. I have an existing policy with a waiver for a pre-existing condition.
Okay.
Are you saying that January 1st, that plan is no longer available to me, even though I purchased it through a private, you know, health insurance?
No,
I think it's the opposite of that.
Yes, that should still be available to you. What's different is that beginning January, all plans have to cover pre-existing conditions.
So you wouldn't need a waiver.
But not existing plans. So if I wanted,
right. There should be no change, or at least there should be no change. There would be no change as a result of the new law. in your situation. Whether or not your insurance company is going to make any changes, that's up to them. But actually, any coverage that you would get beginning January 1st would have to cover a pre-existing condition.
And
thank you, Elaine. Elaine brings up a good point, too, that we should stress that there aren't a whole lot of people that will have to change or do anything, because I believe it's 1 in 10 of people in Wisconsin are uninsured. The majority of people that have insurance through work or already have a plan through Medicare or Veterans Assistance, they generally are covered, correct? And they won't have to do anything. Isn't that right, Kathy?
Yes. I also saw the same figure, the 10% figure. Now, one thing that is changing in Wisconsin is that people who were eligible for Medicaid Plus because they had, or Badger Care Plus because they had Medicaid, basically, because Linda, you can speak more to this, I'm sure, than I can, but mm-hmm. Because they had if their income was not more than 200% of the federal poverty level, they would qualify for the Badger Care Plus. What's happening now is that threshold is changing from 200% to 100%, so it's cutting it in half. And that's why we've seen the reports about 92,000 people in Wisconsin will go from getting coverage under Medicaid. They will now be getting coverage probably through the exchange. They'll be eligible for coverage through the exchange. Yeah. Linda, can you speak more to
yeah,
that?
Please walk us through that.
That is the case for adults. So if you're above 100% of federal poverty and you're an adult currently on a Badger Care Plus case, you will transition to the marketplace. However, the children on the case will stay on Badger Care Plus as long as they're under 300% of federal poverty. So what's going to end up happening is we're going to have dual cases. Some the kids may be open with the county, and the adults maybe need to go through the exchange and will be taken off Badger Care. So, and then also for pregnant women as well, they can remain on Badger Care Plus as long as they're up to 300%. But an adult on the case who's above 100% will need to go to the exchange.
Hmm. And those people, that 92,000 that we keep hearing in the press, we heard the letters went out, and the individuals will get these letters, and what will it tell them?
It will tell them that there's potential that they're going to be over the income. An adult on the case will be over the income for Badger Care Plus, and it refers them to go on to the exchange and look for coverage.
And in that case, do they go to your office, or do they do it online, or either or?
They do it online. I mean, the state keeps reporting that there is no wrong door. So even though we have a federal exchange and then the county offices, there's no wrong door. However, it would be to the benefit of the client to go to the exchange, because if they come through us and we do it through our access system or our care system, we'll then send it to the exchange. So if people need help with, you know, a phone line or a computer, absolutely come to us. But if it looks like they're going to have to go through the exchange, that's probably where they should go.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines again, and we are going to go to Pierce County. And you're on the air. What's your question?
Good morning. My question is, I understand Pierce and St. Croix counties have some of the highest rates under the Affordable Care Act, and yet we're in the outer tier of counties around the Twin Cities who have the lowest rates. How can that be?
That's a good question. And Dorothy, would you like to take a stab at that? I mean, excuse me, Kathy, I'm sorry.
Actually, I know that that insurance rates vary by geographic areas. And I know that Wisconsin has, higher than other states.
Traditionally.
But frankly, I don't know how they determine those rates. I don't know why that is. But I really think you need to ask someone, either the insurance industry or perhaps from the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, because that is really beyond my understanding.
Yeah, fair enough. Another question briefly, what happens for somebody that has no income?
That's a good point. I was going to bring that up. Let's go to Linda on this.
I would definitely say if somebody has no income that they should apply through their county human service office. They can come in and apply to the office, do a face-to-face. They can go on access.gov. That's a website similar to the exchange where people can apply for assistance. Or they can call our Eau Claire County, along with St. Croix and Pierce, are a part of the Great Rivers Income Maintenance Consortia. They can also call our call center. That number is 888-283-0012, and they can apply for assistance there. Because if you don't have income, you potentially might be eligible for other economic support programs above Badger Care Plus, you know, like food share, you know, if you have mm-hmm. insecurity with food. So we would definitely want to get those people into our office and apply.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It doesn't apply to me, but I thought the question needed to be asked.
It's a good question. Dave, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And the number for anyone else who wants to get a question in to Kathy Conway or Linda Strzok, the number is 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. You can also post a question or a comment on the Westside Facebook page. So we talked a little bit about the different tiers of coverage, the bronze, the silver, the gold, the platinum. What about some of the tax credits that are available for people? How do they work, and how do people figure out whether or not they get them? Kathy Conway.
Well, the tax credits, as we said, they are available to individuals with incomes between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level. And, you know, so basically the higher your income, the lower the tax credit you will have. So if you get up there, the 400% of the federal poverty level is for a family of four would be $94,200, which would be considered, I think, by a lot of people, a nice income. So if you're at that level, if you're just, say, shy of the $94,200, you won't receive you won't see a great subsidy. Depending on whether or not you're an individual, family of four, family of two, whatever, based on the family size, that will determine what the 100% to 400% of the federal poverty level is. And then the higher you go, the lower the subsidy will be.
All right. Very good. Back to the phones, and we will go to Stone Lake. And I'm really glad that we're getting a lot of questions, because this thing is a complicated issue, and I'm glad that people are getting questions into the experts that we have on the program. Patty, you are on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Thank you. My question is, right now I pay for my own health insurance, and next year I will be 65. Now, if I were to apply through the exchange and were to be found eligible and went on, you know, what insurance through that, then when I turn 65, do I have to take Medicare?
That's a good question.
My understanding is yes. Linda, do you have a different understanding?
No, that is my understanding. And then on Medicare, any insurance that you potentially have through the exchange would you'd have to report that, and that would go away, and you'd just have the Medicare.
Well, but right, because there's my understanding is that once you're on Medicare, this exchange program has no funding for a gap policy, a Medicare gap policy, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Medicare supplement policy, a policy that would cover things that aren't covered by Medicare. Medicare covers up to, after you've paid your deductible, Medicare covers up to 80% of covered expenses, so you still will have expenses, and people can get supplemental coverage to pick up that gap that isn't covered by Medicare, but you will continue to be able to get that coverage on through private insurers and through a private means, as you've always done. Won't be available on the exchange, but it will still be available to you.
Well, that's kind of my point. You know, it's discriminating against people that are 65, because you're forced to take Medicare. Where I figured it out and looking at it, I would be much to my financial advantage to not go on to Medicare. But that's just my comment.
All right. Well, Patty, thank you so much for your call and questions and comments. The number, 1-800-228-5615. We are rolling through the calls, but we still have an open phone line for you. The number is 1-800-228-5615. And as to the supplemental insurance issue, what about someone who's not on Medicare, someone that's getting insurance through the exchange and they want supplemental? Can they do that? Kathy Conway?
That's a good question. I would think that depends on whether or not they can find an insurer that will provide that to them. Whether or not that will be available in Wisconsin, again, there would be nothing in the law that would prohibit that. But whether or not they can find an insurer just depends on the market in Wisconsin.
All right. Let's take our final break. We've got full phone lines. We want to get back to them with plenty of time to get the questions answered. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and what you need to know before the health insurance exchanges open up tomorrow. My name is Rich Kramer. I'm joined by Eau Claire County Economic Support Manager Linda Strzok and Attorney Kathy Conway of Von Breezen and Roper. We'll have more when we return. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about the remainder of the hour about the health insurance exchanges, which open up tomorrow. They are part of the Affordable Care Act. And for people who are insured or underinsured, they have some new options. And to help us understand those, we're speaking with two experts on the Affordable Care Act. First, Eau Claire County Economic Support Manager Linda Strzok is here, and Attorney Kathy Conway of Von Breezen and Roper is also on the line with us from her office in Milwaukee. The number to call in with your question or comment is 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Now we go to Elmwood, and we've got a question from Kathy. Kathy, you are on the air. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you. I have a question that could go either way, but I have a son right now whose income is low, so he probably won't qualify for tax benefits. He has two dependents. And so he's looking to sign up for this. But then in January, he's going to go to school full-time, and they will be living off student loans. So what happens when you either go up or down in income and you've locked into premiums?
All right. Linda, would you care to take that?
Well, again, depending on the income, but financial aid, some of the financial aid is counted. The financial aid portion that is set aside for shelter may be counted as income, but the remainder will not. So it's not like all of the financial aid or student loans will be counted, but that is looked at for our Badger Care Plus program. So potentially with two dependents and going to school full time, there's a good potential that those children will be eligible for Badger Care Plus. So I would recommend anybody with kids in a situation like that, go into your local income maintenance agency or call your local income maintenance agency, or the best way to do it, if you're comfortable on a computer, is go to access.gov and apply for those programs. And again, if your son is not eligible for Badger Care Plus, but for the marketplace, we will electronically transfer his application to the marketplace for him. So with children and that lower income, I recommend that they apply through the Wisconsin Badger Care Plus program on access.gov.
Yeah, can I ask one more question?
Sure thing, Kathy.
Yeah, we're okay with the children. One's his fiance and then a child. But the question is, I guess, more like, should he apply right now for the health care marketplace, or is he better off waiting until January when that income is going to go away?
Does he currently have health insurance?
Right now, he has a major medical that doesn't cover anything, basically.
I would recommend, I would recommend that he goes on the marketplace and looks at his options. And I would, and depending on the children, again, if he has not applied for Badger Care Plus, that might be an option. But if he starts with the marketplace, again, if they end up being eligible for Badger Care Plus, that goes both ways. They will transfer that application to us as well. But I'd say the marketplace is the place to start then.
Thanks so much, Kathy, for the call and the questions. And real quick, I want to bring up, can a person wait until January 1st to, if they're uninsured, to get on the exchange, Linda Strzok?
In order to have coverage for January 1st, you need to apply by December 15th. However, the open enrollment goes through March 31st. So if you apply later in January, you may just not be eligible till the following month. But if you want coverage by January 1st, you need to apply by December 15th.
All right, two more callers on the line, and we are getting close to the top of the hour, so we'll just roll through them. Sean in Rice Lake, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Well, I'm wondering, like, the rate I pay, is it going to be determined on, like, my 2013 tax return or my 2012? And it's, what if my income throughout the year changes? I mean, how do I, maybe a person will qualify for a subsidy that they didn't at the time they signed up. And I'm just wondering how the exchange deals with that. And then also, are we going to be writing checks to insurance companies and then being reimbursed by the government, or how is that all going to work out?
A lot to chew on there. Kathy Conway, let's go to you first.
Well, the way the subsidies work is that they will look at your current income when you apply for through the exchange. And so if your income is different this year than it was last year, then that will be taken into consideration. The way the subsidy works, excuse me, is that it is a payment directly to the insurance company. And so it subsidizes your payment. You would still have to make a payment to the insurance company, but it would be less than what you would otherwise have to pay if you are receiving a subsidy.
And the subsidies,
and what happens after the end of the year is when you're filing, so in 2015, when you're preparing your income tax for 2014, you would then reconcile the amount of the subsidy that you received with the amount of income you actually have. So if the subsidy was actually less than what you should have gotten based on your income, then you can apply for a tax refund based on that. If your subsidy was more than it should have been, then that will be an additional tax. But that's when the reconciliation would occur. It would be early in 2015 when you're filing your income tax return for 2014.
So you just settle up one way or the other at the end of the year on your taxes.
That's correct.
Have to pay
and
more
it goes both ways. If you receive too much, then you pay an additional tax to make up that difference. And if you receive too little, you'll get an additional tax refund.
All right.
That sounds good.
Thanks so much, Sean. Let's go to Frank in Neillsville. Frank, you're on the air. Thanks so much. What's your question?
Yeah, thank you. My question is, I've been on SSDI insurance for like 16 years, and I was wondering when all of this takes effect, is there anything I'm going to be losing now, and is it going to affect the coverage of my children?
Linda Strzok?
Okay, so you're on Social Security Disability.
Yeah,
are you getting your
Medicare.
Okay, so you're getting MA and Medicare.
Yeah.
So you would not be eligible through the exchange. However, your kids, again, depending on the family's filing status, tax filing status, your kids may be eligible through the exchange or through BadgerCare, depending on that situation.
Then would I still be covered under the insurance as I'm right now?
That is correct.
Yep.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Frank. And we've got one more caller here before the top of the hour. We're not going to be able to take any others, but I really appreciate everybody calling in. This one is John in Eau Claire. John, you're on the air. Thanks so much. What's your question?
Yes. What about people with medical assistance? Are they affected or not? And that may have been the same as his previous question. I'm not sure.
So you're on medical assistance through the Social Security office or through the...
I'm personally not.
Okay.
But I know people who are.
Yep. If you're on medical assistance, whether it's because you're over 65 years of age or disabled, whether that's through the county or Social Security office, you're not eligible through the exchange. BadgerCare Plus, however, happens to be a piece of medical assistance. So if you're on BadgerCare Plus, you potentially could be eligible. But if you're on SSI because of age or disability or Medicaid, because of age or disability, you would not need to go through the exchange. Your benefits would stay the same.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I appreciate it, John. And again, thanks to all the great callers and great questions. I've got a question. We've talked about medical assistance. We've talked about Medicaid, Medicare. What about veterans? Kathy Conway, if the person is a veteran and gets services through the VA, do they have to sign up for the exchange tomorrow?
I I think they're in the same boat as people on Medicare, but Linda, do you know the answer to that question?
I do not know the answer to that question. However, I can say that a lot of people who are on veterans benefits do apply for medical assistance because they're disabled and or over 65. So if they meet that criteria, then they wouldn't be. But I can't say for certain.
Well, and I looked at the website at healthcare.gov, and it said that you may have to.
Correct.
There a big may there. So definitely look at what your benefits are and get on that exchange tomorrow. So that's pretty much the time we've got. I really appreciate my guests for their discussion. Kathy Conway is an attorney with Von Breezen and Roper who specializes in health insurance and retirement plans, among other things. And Eau Claire County Economic Support Manager Linda Strzok, thank you both very much for the discussion. I'd also like to thank Team Westside. That includes Mort Cypress for handling on-air production, Henry Lippold for helping produce the hour, Rachel Vick for promotions, and Tiffany Coggins and Dean Kallenbeck for keeping it all together. Tune in next week when we discuss the safety of our bridges. Until then, have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.